I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me.
Hey there, wrestling fans, it is I, CM Jew, the best Jew in the world, here with a brand new episode of CM Jew's Wrestling Reviews, and this is episode 42 as we continue WrestleMania month, right here with the best Jew in the world. And of course, I can't go all month alone, and you know, on the first one I had, of course, my good friend Corey, and we like did that epic 2 hour podcast. Now, I don't think we're going to reach that length tonight, but I have two epic guests. First, he was supposed to be on with us for WrestleMania 3. Fortunately, things happened, but I'm glad to be able to bring him on for tonight's show. Ladies and gentlemen, Harry is with us, or as he's better known, Hairball.
How you doing, folks? My name is a Hairball, and I am from Florida, and you can't teach that.
How you doing? And my next guy is 300 plus pounds, and you can't teach that.
Oi! 280 now, you. What the hell?
Matty J is on the Jew YouTube with us tonight.
Wow, we're going after everybody tonight, aren't we?
Yeah. Hey, I'm Jewish. I'm a Jew. I can make this joke. It's like the black person who just constantly says the N word all the time. Like, hey, I'm black. I can say it.
Right.
Hey, it happens.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
No, literally. That's what we do, like, on Saturday and Thursday nights when I work at McDonald's. I work towards, like, usually, like, 10 or 11, and there's a guy there, and we, like, he'll, like, go, woo, and I'll go, woo, and we'll have a woo-off in the McDonald's.
Hey, no one goes woo around here except me.
and then all especially the female managers will look at us like we're like outside our goddamn mind.
Well, of course you are. That's normal
for you guys.
Oh, thank you guys for having my back.
Well, you're the one who started off calling me fat, so you know what?
I didn't say you were fat. I just said you were 300 pounds. You can't teach that. I never said you were fat.
Yeah, well, technically 300 pounds is technically called or obese, which is technically called fat, so...
Okay, but look at Matt Morgan. Matt Morgan's over 300 pounds, and he's ripped like a motherfucker.
That's because he's not goddamn Morgan.
Hey, Pot, I'm Kettle, you're black.
Yeah.
But again, I never said you were fat. I'm just going to, like, state that, obviously. You know what is fat? Our card for this evening.
Yeah.
Yes, it's Hairball. That's a segue. For the so-called podcast that shall not be mentioned that never apparently got recorded or wasn't recorded and just screwed up.
Yeah, but I super kicked my tower off the desk after that.
Yes, as I said, tonight we are WrestleMania. That we are reviewing is WrestleMania 15. Yes, we've got. I'm covering sort of the little anniversaries here this year. I've covered 10, which you know I had never seen before, and there were matches that surprised me and matches that didn't. And this, you know, considering last year I covered 14, I thought it only fitting that I cover 15 this year, especially since I watched Royal Rumble 99 and I watched St. Valentine's Day Massacre 1999 the past 2 months. So, you know, we've been here on CMG, we've been watching the hit, or at least the storyline that has been building, at least through the pay-per-views, up to this WrestleMania. Which has been interesting, I'll say the least. Because, like, I never knew about the oddities. Or that the Blue Meanie was with the WWE at this time.
Oh, God.
Yeah, about that.
Hey, you know what? Somebody from the Oddities went on to star in a hit movie.
It's true.
Yeah, you know that big guy Kurgan?
Yeah, Big Kurgan. He was also with Recon, wasn't it?
Yep.
Because me and Maddie covered him in when we covered Survivor Series 97.
I remember that group. Yeah. There was this movie about, you know, these big giant alien monsters. You might have heard of it. It's called Pacific Rim.
Yep.
Yeah. It also happened to be 7 foot tall, and you couldn't teach that.
No.
How you doing?
You know what? I think this just says something, little thing about us, and that we just might be a little bit of Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy fans. Just a tad.
Yep.
You're not alone, though.
Oh, my God. I so badly want to see him at WrestleMania.
Oh, God. Just the intro alone. With 80,000 people going, how you doing? How you doing?
Imagine if they'd been with the company and been at WrestleMania during WrestleMania 29. Dude. I mean, you want to talk about actually hearing the crowd in an open stadium.
Oof.
So, yeah, but our card is fat. WrestleMania 15, the height of the Attitude Era, at least the height of what I like to call the first generation or the first part of the Attitude Era. I don't know about you guys. I break up the Attitude Era into sort of two parts. I sort of like 98, 99, and then 2000, 2001.
So essentially, pre-Jericho and then post-Jericho.
Yeah, actually, you're pretty much right on that.
More or less, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Chris Jericho, Paul White, and that they both debuted in 1999, which is like that butter zone. WCW wasn't really infiltrated by, you know.
Anybody.
Yeah.
And people go, well, X-Pac debuted in 98. Came back in 98. X-Pac's a whore. But even he'll admit it, because he did one in that little porno that we shall not mention again.
I was just about to mention that tape that he did with the person who should be in the Hall of Fame, but now we know we'll probably never get into it because, you know, we have to somehow be responsible for other people's kids.
Let's put this. Should she be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Yes. Will she be in the Hall of Fame? The minute she tore her top off for that tape, nope.
Well, The only way I can see her getting into the Hall of Fame is if they put a fan vote.
Even that might be a little close to 50-50.
It'll be a long time.
It's going to be a long shot.
Long time, yes. So WrestleMania 15, so much to talk about with this, because literally, like I said, I've been watching. I watched the Royal Rumble. I watched St. Valentine's Day Massacre. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, like the fact that this is going to be Owen Hart's last WrestleMania.
Gorilla Monsoon's last on-screen appearance.
Yeah. Which I feel bad
this
for.
This just in. This is sad.
Yeah, and I really feel sad for Gorilla Monsoon that this is his last appearance because, you know, really wasn't needed for his job in that segment. We'll get to that. All I'm going to say about that segment is this. Timber!
I got another one. Squash!
Yeah.
No, I think we have...
Old folks.
Yep.
No, we're going to play a game about... Because I actually have an envelope with a sound clip that best describes that segment. But we're going to play a game to see if we can guess what's in that envelope. But we'll get to that when we get to the segment. So why don't I give you guys the tail of the tape, and then we can get into WrestleMania 15, which has so much to talk about. So WrestleMania 15, which I actually kind of have to out myself. Only about an hour ago did I come to the realization what the symbol was. I always thought it was, like, for some reason, like, and a weird-looking S and then a reverse S. I've only come to the realization that it's an X and a V.
Yeah.
Doink!
Roman noodles.
Well, they're hidden so well by the WrestleMania.
I think this is where Peanut would usually go.
Meow.
Meow. Yeah.
So WrestleMania 15 with the tagline of the raging climax. Hello, ladies. Presented by the World Wrestling Federation, now known as WWE, sponsored by M&M's, took place on March 28th, 1999, with an attendance of 20,276. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at the First Union Center, and we can probably also say goodbye to any WrestleMania ever happening there again, not just because the center doesn't exists anymore. Well, the center does exist. It's called something else. It's called the Wells Fargo Center. But for those who watched the last Royal Rumble this past year, good night, Philly!
Yeah.
Thank you, Philly! I was hoping I have another chance for WrestleMania. You took that away from me.
Yeah.
though, to be fair, I may get to watch NXT in May.
Yeah, you heard about that little nugget.
Yeah. So some of the roles that you'll see, you have Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler as your main color commentators with Jim Ross on the main event. The Fink, all your favorite referees, Chioda, Hebner, Corderas, Teddy Long, and thank God he didn't turn anything to a tag team match while refereeing.
Teddy, thank God this ain't a tag match long.
Tim White and special guest referee Vinny Pazzani for thank you. The Tasmanian Devil for the Brawl for All.
Tasmanian Devil.
Tasmanian Devil.
Paz.
Yeah. What?
Paz and Pazmania.
Paz.
It's boxing. What do you expect?
That's all we're going to say, Batty. And of course, your special guests for judges over the Brawl for All, Kevin Rooney, legendary trainer, Chuck Wepner, the true life inspiration for Rocky, and as we before mentioned, the legendary Gorilla Monsoon, who I think got one of the biggest pops tonight.
Yep.
So, ladies and gentlemen, with all that being said, as we adjust ourselves, because we need to, and that's probably the wrong thing to use.
Crazy.
Let's get into WrestleMania 15.
Roll it, monkey!
Well, And we're back, and let's get right into it. Of course, we have our Sunday Night Heat matches. You had PMS of Jack Lennon with Terry Reynolds.
Pretty mean sisters, you perfs. Just saying.
I was thinking it. That was hairball. Anyways, they defeated Ivory with D'Lo Brown, in which apparently Terry shoves a cigar into Ivory's eye, which causes her to have a bandage in a later match we'll be talking about. And there was a 20-man battle royal to determine the number one contenders for the WWF Tag Team Championship, where basically how it worked is the last two people left in the match would pair up later in the evening to face the Tag Team Champions. Just to go over the competitors, I have the whole list right here. You have Rocco Rock. I'm like, wow, Rocco was actually part of the WWE here?
Yeah, for a brief few minutes, yes.
I believe
the expression is for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, him and Johnny Grunge. You have Viscera, Gilbert. Wow.
Yes, Gilbert was in there too.
The fact that he wasn't the first person eliminated amazes me. Animal, 8-Ball, Skull, Hawk, Scott Taylor, Farouk, Tiger Ali Singh, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Midian, Brian Christopher, Steve Blackman, Bradshaw, and The Godfather, and Droz. With the winners
being Droz.
I always want to pronounce that Droz. I don't know why.
Droz.
Yeah. I'm not saying anything wrong.
You don't expect Droz.
I don't. It's like every time I see this, I want to pronounce it a certain way. But your winners will be Test and D'Lo. I'm going to be getting rid of my chest protector, Brown.
Check out but, at its finest.
Yes. So our first match of the evening should make the crowd very happy since we are in the home of ECW. As we have Hardcore Holly and Al versus Al Snow versus the one in Billy Gunn, the Ass Man, in a triple threat hardcore match for the WWF Hardcore Championship. And I thought this was a good opening match.
Yeah.
Violent.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
I just got one question.
Yes.
What does everybody want?
Head!
I felt the crowd was into it. I'm surprised. I mean, I think I heard at least one ECW. That is something that surprised me through the night, is that I didn't hear more ECW chants.
Yeah.
It surprised me, really.
Yeah, me did too, a little bit. Something else I noticed in the crowd, there was a sign that said hold on, I got it actually wrote down here somewhere.
I need poop.
I didn't see that one. But no, there was a sign that said he's not spark plug anymore.
He's hardcore. Yeah, I saw that one. He's not spark plug, he's hardcore Holly. Yeah. I mean, you know what? Tell me if I'm wrong on this, but this is back when the Philadelphia crowds were more mature.
Yep. Still are today.
Oh, no. If you watch this past year's Royal Rumble, they're childish as hell.
It's not the same Philly crowd anymore.
Oop.
No, I will actually say this. This is kind of did you guys read the Lance Storm column?
No.
The one where he talks about how the way the crowd's acting is basically the fault of them and the whole Mr. McMahon character, that they precondition the crowd to, like, hate whoever they push.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Just a little off topic. But, I enjoyed the match. I love when they brought the hockey stick and they automatically started chanting for the Flyers. Moving on to our next match for the WWF Tag Team Championships, we have Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett, the WWF Champions, with Deborah versus D'Lo Brown and Test with Ivory. And I'm just going to sit here and say this. Deborah stole this fucking match.
Deborah, you mean Deborah with or without clothing? Because she was as naked as you could get for a paper TV 15.
Yeah. Clothes? What clothes?
I think that's the point.
Yep.
Kind of like how Ryan Shamrock kind of stole St. Valentine's Day Massacre for me.
Yep.
God damn, I'm like, is there a bikini contest later on in this pay-per-view that I don't know about?
Nope.
Nope. You don't have to worry.
Quick! That's good. Like, if there is, quick, let me get T-Dub in here so we can debate.
Oh, God.
Oh. Dude, we'll be here all night.
Yeah, that's the last thing I want to be here, is, like, here all night.
So, I guess this was okay. I mean,
for a thrown-together, almost last-minute-second match, it was eh. And I think I might have heard the announce table thud a couple of times. If you get what I'm trying to say.
Well, it was a ping. Maddie?
There was a thud, yes. That was a needed thing. Deborah.
It's Deborah. Damn it, was she actually under the table?
What?
I was thinking, wait a minute, was she actually under the table?
King probably wishes she was.
Yeah.
But as much as we're having fun with Deborah, and we could go on talking about Deborah for like the next half hour, right. What about the match, Maddie?
Owen and Jarrett won. Owen and Jarrett won. There's not really much to say here.
Your silence tells us everything about.
There's nothing much to say about this match. It was a match. It happened. It was short and it was sweet and it was gone.
I guess the sad part is this is Owen Hart's last WrestleMania.
Which is to say it wasn't a bad match, which is why I said wasn't a bad match.
Yeah.
A lot worse.
It is sad because, I mean, unfortunately he was taken away from the world in horrible means.
Yes. Russo!
Wait, are you saying Russo's responsible?
He wrote the bit.
Oh, okay. Oh, moving on, because there's really nowhere to move from that.
Yeah, you want to move from the awkward thing to a potentially less awkward thing, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry. So our next match is the Brawl for All match. Featuring Butterbean versus Bart Gunn. So we're going to play a little game here at CM Jews Wrestling Reviews. I have an envelope here. Wait a minute. Here's an envelope.
It's been kept in a mayonnaise jars and fucking Weigel's porch since noon today, and no one knows the contents of that envelope except for the person that put the thing in the envelope.
Yes. Now, in this envelope is basically a sound bit that best describes how this match in one sentence. Don't ask me how I'm going to transfer a sound clip that's somehow in a envelope to a computer.
Magic!
Just go with the bit, okay? So, I'm going to go around the table and ask, and we're all going to give our answers. So, Hairball, what do you think's in the envelope?
I'll take, you got knocked the fuck out for 500, Alex.
Hey, look, daily double.
Maddie?
You got knocked the fuck out.
Wow, we're all on the same line, because I'm going to pick, you got knocked the fuck out.
Biatch.
Okay, and survey says...
You got knocked the fuck out!
Ding!
Yep,
Oh.
Can I sit here and say this? I could watch this match over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a train wreck. Yes, it's Brawl for All. Yes, it is sad. But you can't stare away.
It literally is a train wreck. Because like a train wreck, it's just
wanted. Stop watching.
Yeah.
It's and a viral video.
Yeah.
You know what's sad?
Gasoline on it.
It's the world's greatest knockout. When you want to see what is a textbook example of somebody getting knocked the fuck out, it doesn't come from boxing, and it doesn't come from USC. It comes from this match.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it was like, Timber! because there's the first one. And he's sitting there like, wow, he can really hit. He's a real boxer.
He's a real boxer. Like, hey. He can really hit. And he gets up. And says, I'm fine. Second one, fine. Pop. And Michael Cole is like, and folks, this one's over. Good night.
Not everybody.
I'm sorry to drag you out here, Chuck Wagner, Rooney, and Mr. Monsoon. You really weren't needed.
No.
And
you know what? Easiest job ever, right there.
Yep. Get paid to sit out there and do absolutely nothing.
I mean, oh my God.
And get the biggest pop of the night.
Yep.
Now it's really going to make me want to go back and watch that episode of WWE Countdown where they talk about the worst, not worst gimmicks, but there's like the missteps and flubs and biggest bloopers.
Yeah.
And they call Brawl for All one of the biggest bloopers, and then they all talk about this match.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
We found out what happens when a wrestler tries to box an actual boxer.
Yeah, he gets knocked on his ass.
He is knocked the fuck out.
And what would be the shortest WrestleMania match for until 9 years later?
Yeah.
And no, I'm not talking about 18 seconds either.
Oh, yeah, Chavo.
Yeah.
So, our next match is all kind of fucked up as well, as it's Mankind versus Paul Wright.
Paul White. Oh, Big Show.
Well, it's the Big Slow.
In a singles match. Now, the stipulation is whoever won would become the special guest referee for the main event. This was pretty much all about the story.
Yup.
And Paul Wright gets disqualified and turns on Mr. McMahon, starting a long list of Paul Wright / Big Show face / heel turns.
The first of many.
Which some poor bastard affiliated with NoDQ actually keeps a running list of.
What is it up to now?
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
It's insert number here. Armbar!
I did that at work the other day. I started, like, reciting that list. I go, like, move one, cloverleaf. Move two, armbar. Move three, the moss-covered, three-handled family credenzel. Move five, armbar. And one of my coworkers who hates wrestling just starts looking at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I mean, there's not much to say about this match. It was, it's Mankind at this time versus Paul, versus Big Show. It's what you expect, and it's... Because it wasn't a wrestling match. It was all about the story type of match.
Yep.
But with that, let's actually move on to something that was pretty good. The Four Corners elimination match for the WWF Intercontinental Championship.
Yes.
You have the current champion, Road Dogg, versus Ken Shamrock versus Goldust with the Blue Meanie and Brian Shamrock, and Val Venus. I thought this was a really good match.
Good triple threat, yeah.
Yeah. Hairball?
I was at this That I was searching for an Archer reference there somewhere, but I lost it.
What you're looking for is Sammy Gavis Jr.
Sure, that'll work. It was for what it was decent, I guess.
Well, I thought Val Venus was really good.
Yeah.
In this match. I mean, everybody I thought was at the top of the game. I think this turned out to be one of my favorite matches of the evening. I mean, Ken Shamrock was just, like, good at being crazy.
Yeah.
Blue Mini was actually pretty funny on the outside. His interactions with Ryan.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, until St. Valentine's Massacre, every time I would, like, look on Wikipedia entries and see Ken Shamrock with Ryan Shamrock, I thought that was his brother.
Very mistaken there, sir.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the catchphrase of this evening.
By the way, I'm watching that knockout again.
That's how good it is. Yep. But the really good match. Your winner and still WWF Intercontinental Champion, the Road Dog, Jesse James, who took everybody to the doghouse to do it doggy style.
You're not the Road Dog.
I could be. I got a singing voice like him. I mean, Jeff Jarrett stole my single, too. Nothing.
No, we got the joke. It's just, no.
Well, our next match is Kane with China versus Triple H. China, of course, comes out later. But before that, Kane's coming to the ring, and he gets attacked by a chicken.
Oh, goddammit. Are we watching Family Guy?
Nope. We're watching Pete Rose make an ass of himself.
Again.
Tombstone number 2.
Yep. Now, here's the funny thing, and it made me realize that they missed an opportunity. WWE has missed an opportunity at the last WrestleMania. Michael Cole says a line. He goes, you know, how long is this streak going to continue? To WrestleMania 30?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, did they ever miss an opportunity here?
I'm like, oh, my God. They could have done something with that.
Oh, wow.
And it really amazes me. Because if these are the same people that brought the hand back for Raw 1000... you would think they would remember Michael Cole saying that.
Well, commentary, they don't think of that, but... Oof. Oof.
Foreshadowing anybody?
Yeah.
but yeah, continued a long line of... But this continuing a long line of Pete Rose, Kane interactions that are just hilarious to watch.
They are.
Yeah. So, Kane versus Triple H. I mean, I think one of the things that I find difficult, at least in this, is, like, wrestling in the WWE would get so much better once Chris Jericho and the Radicals would come and everything, that it's hard to sometimes watch this wrestling and be able to appreciate it.
Right.
As good. I think that's why at least I'm trying to struggle for words, like, going back and watching this stuff. I thought this was a decent match.
You know, I think this Mania in particular wasn't necessarily about the wrestling per se. Every match was very story oriented.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. You know, this one here too, and it would parlay into a match later on.
Oh, yeah. But for what it is, I hate to say this, but a lot of the matches seemed like they could have been on Raw. I mean, that's just how they seemed, and this one of them, it's a good match, and I enjoyed it, but it's... I mean,
And the chair that Hunter waylaid Kane with, that would not be the last time we see that chair this evening.
Yep.
That very same chair would make another appearance later.
Well, I'm sure you'll bring it up. So, decent match. We all agree on that?
Yeah.
Yep. So, our next match, I thought I would enjoy more. You have for the WWF Women's Champion, you have the Women's Champion Sable versus Tori.
Unfortunately, the Scourge that was the, shall we say, sticks with tits era. Yeah, I didn't escape it as much.
Probably the first ever piss break.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Like, we've seen Sable do some good matches before.
Yeah.
Not the Tori. Here she's being...
Yep. Dare I say that her outfit was a bit more conservative than usual, or at least in the pants region?
You can say that.
I mean, I think she would have done better if she had Tori's outfit on.
There was a botch in this match.
Oh, yes, there was.
Would you like to explain it to us, Harry?
It was the first attempt at Sable doing the Sable Bomb, and Tori just botched it like a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
This, though, is that at least when she fell on her ass, she had the mindset to, like, throw a punch.
Yeah.
You know, I always say this about botches. There are those who, like, freeze during a botch, and those who try to make something out of it. And to her credit, she tried to make something out of it.
Unlike Sin Cara.
Well, Sin Cara just botches and breaks his arm and goes out for 6 months.
Yeah.
And, of course, you also had the appearance of Nicole Bass.
If you know how I hire anybody like Nicole Bass ever again, that'd be great.
Now, you gotta explain, because I remember her from ECW, and I find it funny there's a lot of ECW alumni. I mean, Mick Foley, Al Snow, Blue Meanie, you would have Public Enemy during the Battle Royal.
I see why every time, you know, later on when they would throw her in an angle with Val Venus, I know why he ran.
He that ran so far ugly. Away. He couldn't get away.
That bitch is ugly.
Is that why you're saying don't hire her again, Maddie?
Don't hire anybody like her again. Please.
What?
You know,
well, don't get me wrong. Women like, there are women who are beautiful looking. She's not one of them.
You know what? I think I just figured out something. Maybe that's why all the women they've ever hired since then are, like, complete opposite and, like, are actually hot.
Are you admitting that the Bellas are actually hot?
They ain't ugly.
So you're saying you'd rather watch a 35-second Bella match than watch Nicole Bass?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow!
Yes.
Somewhere T-Dub is, like, yelling at his computer screen. He's like, I'm going to kill all of you.
No. You ask him that. You know what? I'm going to ask him that question later. He'll probably say yes.
We'll see, sir. We'll see. Now, our next match is a match I'm actually, because of complications tonight, I'm not going to have much to talk about, except that I watched the ending. And I think the ending, it's more famous for its ending. For the WWF European Championship, we have Shane McMahon with Test versus X-Pac. So, I mean, if you guys will take over, I mean, I saw the end of the match, and it's like, I think that's more well-known than the match itself.
the match itself is pretty much popular for Triple H finally turning on DX.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's the big ending for those wondering, for, you know, spoilers. Ooh, ha. But,
Oh, wait. One more spoiler.
Yeah.
Darth Vader is Luke's dad.
Yeah, Bruce Willis was dead. The doctor's name isn't really revealed.
Yeah. And Santa Claus isn't real.
Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Maddie, we've done it again. Continue.
But yeah, the match itself, a lot of people were probably expecting Shane to be just like, oh, he'll be doing a lot of running, there'll be some comeuppance. But Shane actually hung in there for a bit. Mm-hmm. He actually did some halfway decent ring work.
Yeah.
I always thought that Shane was a decent wrestler.
He's athletic. He's unlike his father, athletically gifted.
Yes, considering he had a silver spoon born in his mouth.
Yes,
and had chauffeured driven tricycles.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep thinking back to King's commentary during WrestleMania 22, at the Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels, Mr. McMahon match, which, if I do get to WrestleMania 22, Maddie, I'm bringing you back on with T-Dub to review that. I'm just telling you that right now. Your services will be required again.
I don't know if I'll be able to. When?
No, later this month.
Ooh.
Like, probably April.
Oh, April?
Bring come lots back of to coffee.
On come back to me on that one.
Yeah, I will.
Bring lots of coffee. You'll be there all night.
I'm just saying, T-Dub's already requested on for that one, if I get to it. Anyways, Hairball, anything left to say about Shane versus...
You know, there was a bit of interference, as expected, but unlike Vince, Shane can, you know...
Shane can move.
Yeah.
Shane can actually fucking wrestle.
And besides RVD, is probably the only other wrestler I know that can jump from post to post.
Yep. Which is always pretty amazing.
And that son of a bitch can take a bump.
Yep.
Shane McMahon, I mean, I think there's only one other person who can take a bump more than Shane McMahon, and that's Mick Foley.
Yep.
And when that's the only person who can take a bump better than you, you're in pretty good company.
Yep.
Oh. So let's move on to our next match, the Hell in the Cell match.
Ooh.
Yes, Undertaker versus the Big Boss Man. I don't think anybody remembers anything about this match other than the fact, unfortunately, then they hanged the Boss Man after it.
They.
By the way, Undertaker wins.
Yeah.
Undertaker wins.
Lol.
Undertaker wins. There's two reasons why that match is not in the best the greatest Hell in the Cell matches DVD. One, the match fucking sucked. It was a painful slow watch.
Yeah.
And two, yeah, the rope.
Yep. I just realized something.
Yeah.
The two Hell in a Cell matches that Bossman were in sucked. But this one, not as much as the other one.
What was the second one that he was in? I remember this one.
Kennel from Hell.
Oh. That's right.
How could I forget
that one? Oh, that's right. That's why I forgot that one. Because nobody wants to remember that one.
That one was the worst Hell in a Cell match ever.
I don't think we can put the blame, though, on Undertaker in this.
Nope.
It's Boss Man.
Yeah.
For the match, Boss Man, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I like Boss Man. but he was the wrong member of the corporation to put in that match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Test probably would have been a better... as green as he was.
Yeah.
Or hell, if they really wanted to have been shocking, they should have put Mr. McMahon in that match.
Oh, God, no. You don't hang Vince McMahon, dude.
I'm not saying because they would have hanged him. I'm just saying, wrestling-wise.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, and that maybe is the sound of time to move on.
Oh, oh yes. And that was also the match where that very same chair that, you know, Triple H waylaid Kane with would later reappear. I'm watching this, I'm like, and, you know, I think it was Boss Man that pulled it out from under the ring. And I'm looking at the chair, I'm like, wait a minute. I've seen that chair before.
Continuity.
We have it.
Yeah. Yes. So our final match of the evening, I actually think was the best match of the evening, though as sloppy as it was. You have Stone Cold Steve Austin versus the WWF champion The Rock in a no disqualification match.
What?
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 A no disqualification match.
You got two different things, man. It's Austin's gimmick. What?
A no DQ match.
What?
A Hell in a Cell match.
What?
A false count anywhere match.
What?
A lingerie pillow fight.
Giggity.
Oh, God, now I have the image of The Rock and Stone Cold in lingerie. God damn it. Fuck y'all.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
You're welcome. Wait, hold on.
Goodbye, Mattis. You brought this on yourself.
Oh, I will get my revenge one day, sir.
Do we need to send you some Niagara?
No.
No, because I don't have problem getting it up, unlike The Miz.
Hey, ooh.
main event, I enjoyed it. I thought it was, quite frankly, the best match of the evening.
Nope.
Here, I mean, okay, who wants to go first?
Match of the night?
Yeah.
Match of the night, that's your only comment?
Hey, you know what? The main event was, it's Austin versus Rock. Even if it's shit, it's still good.
Yep.
Hairball?
Yeah, like Maddie said, it's Austin Rock. You know, those two could have a quote-unquote bad match, and it would still be good.
And I think what you're looking for is they could have a lingerie pillow fight, and it'd still be good.
Again, dude, why you... Stop! Stop!
I'm going to get my revenge! I'm going to get stuck in your head now!
And I thought T-Dub was twisted.
Well, T-Dub is twisted.
But, you know, it's like, when they go into the crowd, that was, like, that's one of the things where, like, I felt iffy. I'm like, oh, no, do not go into that crowd. That's a Philly crowd.
Yeah.
Do not go into that crowd. You'll never get them back.
No.
They're liable to start.
Philly let them fight.
Yeah.
And, of course, there was a wicked spot in the entrance way.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean... Was there ever any, anything released of any serious damage that Austin got from his leg hitting the light in the bar?
I think that was when it was not long after that, he started wearing a brace on both knees.
Yeah.
But then again, you're talking about what damage? It's already been done anyway.
Yeah.
But I thought they built up the story beautifully to, you know, the referee is getting knocked out and everything, and it finally, you know, Mick Foley coming in.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just a good sub. And now I think their later matches would be better.
Of course.
because, again, there'd be more work in the ring, but, you know, a large portion of this match happened outside of the ring.
Yes.
Now, did they take the Spanish announce table or the main table?
The Spanish announce table died.
A lot.
Again. So, yeah, I think that's it for review.
You know, and, you know, of course, afterwards, you know, Vince gets stunned. Again.
Just for the icing on the cake, because, again, it was the building of a storyline that was 6 months in the works.
And it involved a beer truck.
Yep. Well, you know, this was, I think, definitely a time where, even with WrestleMania, the pay-per-views didn't matter as much as Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this, for WWE, the pay-per-views mattered more to them than WCW.
Yeah. By the way, for those wondering, yeah, I'm fighting a cold.
Yeah, that's why Maddie usually is more talkative than this, but he's fighting a cold. But I'm thankful that he's on tonight. Because he's bailing my ass out.
We're trying to.
Well, I'm not saying that's you. I'm the one who brought up lingerie pillow fights.
It's your bed, dude. Mm.
Yeah, I know, and I'm going to have to lay in it. Just hopefully I'll be able to change it from Rockin' Austin to Sable and Tori Wilson.
I'll take Trish and Lita instead.
Oh, God, I just thought Sable, which just reminded me, like, how the hell did that woman end up with Brock fucking Lesnar? Anyways, moving on. So, Hairball, I'm going to start with you. What were your top three moments of WrestleMania 15?
Austin, you know, went beating Rock. For the shock value, you know, Bossman being hung like a, you know, dead deer, stuck pig, whatever kind of reference you got to make.
Mm.
And, yeah, Bart got knocked the fuck out!
Matty J?
Austin stunning McMahon at WrestleMania and putting his foot... The image of him putting his foot on McMahon with the title belt regained and the beer in the other hand, that's a beautiful image to end on, you know? And Vince squirming all the way, too.
Uh-huh.
Helps a little bit. I'm going to go with that heel turn. The Triple H heel turn, because that was the genesis of what we now know as Triple H, as in the game, as in the guy we see on TV now.
Yeah.
The character that we see on TV started with that pedigree to X-Pac. If you want, or at least that evolution of the character.
Yeah.
It began there with the corporation, Triple H. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Butterbean knocking Bart Gunn the fuck out.
Are you watching that again?
Yep.
You're just gonna have that on endless loop over.
Someone has gifted that.
So, I'm sure. And you need to find it. So my top three moments. Number three, Deborah. Enough said.
Yeah.
I think I had to change like three pairs of pants.
Well, that's still not as many as what you had to change during NXT or Evolution.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
No.
Or Rival.
Ugh.
Fucking Rival, man. Kevin Steen. Are you kidding me?
Well, I'm just... Well, look. I had to change more pairs of pants at our Evolution than I did for Rival.
But Rival, you changed some pairs.
I'm not saying I didn't. I'm just saying... And to be fair about it, our Evolution is like perfection. You can only match it. You can't surpass it.
That is true.
So my number two moment is the stunner Austin gave Mr. McMahon. Just a perfect way to end that match. A really good match for that matter. But I think we're all in agreement. Billy Gunn? Or she's not Billy Gunn, but Bart Gunn? You gotta knock the fuck out! Fuck out.
Punch. Punch. Punch Waffle Flop.
There's a word. I'm thinking about it. Ooh.
Squash?
No. It's another word, and I'll tell you what I can do. I can,
spell it out for you! S A W F T
T Squash!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the first three official members of the Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy fan club.
Hey, don't forget about Carmella now.
Oh, no, the princess of Staten Island.
And she's hot as hell, and you can't teach that.
But she did get beat by Alexa Breeze. So
and Blue Pants.
Forgive me. And yes, and blue pants. Yeah.
blue pants.
We need a new episode to get her just all like us gushing about Enzo Amore.
when Blue Pants beat Carmella, the look on Enzo's face. Oh my god!
I mean, I almost felt bad because I am a huge fan of Lucha Dragons, and that's who they beat this week. Yeah. Thankfully, I watched Superstars and watched the Lucha Dragons beat the Ascension.
Yeah.
I think I know it's still pretty early in the year, but I think when we get around to best and worst at the end of this year, my think my choice for they fucked up on is going to be the Ascension.
Well, to be fair, they still I think it's official to say that it's better to premiere after WrestleMania than before WrestleMania.
Yes.
Yes. I think that's why they're being held back on right now, because right now it's WrestleMania season, but that's a different story. So, Hairball, top three matches.
Austin Rock, because I am a mark for both. The European title match, not necessarily because of the match itself, the, genesis of, Triple H's, heel character.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that knockout.
That's how good, I mean, that is how good of a knockout it is, that it made the match great. I mean, while everybody else considers it a blooper, we just love it. So, Maddie?
Top three matches. Rock, Austin, obviously. I'm going to give one to Shane versus X-Pac, because it's underrated. I feel it's underrated, considering. And that fucking knockout. I'm sorry. It may not be considered a good match or a wrestling classic. It's not even wrestling. Come on, people.
It's a tough man fight is what it is.
Call it for what it was at face value. It was a quickie. Phrasing, yes, I know.
Yes, but it was...
Phrasing!
But it was good.
Oh, yes. So, for my top three... yeah, I agree with both of you. Butterbean versus Billy Gunn is number three because of that goddamn knockout. Who the fuck should hit that knockout?
Punch on ass, get up. Punch, wobble, flop.
Oh, no, he did not wobble at all.
No, punch, head, wobble, flop. You watch that back. Like, he hits the button, his head bobbles, he flops.
Okay. Because I was like, I think he was out on contact.
Yeah.
Oh, he was out on contact. His head was like, oh, flop.
Number two, I'll give it to Shane versus X-Pac for both the match and for the historical importance of it.
Yeah.
But number one, Austin versus Rock. Because, there was build up to it, and it was everything story-wise, it was a great match. Yeah. And everything during this WrestleMania was a build-up to that. You know, definitely you can sit here and say that the entire WrestleMania was the focus on that one match. Which, again, I think that shows the difference of this era.
Yep.
Is that, and I can say this is about WrestleMania 14, I feel like everything was all about the build-up to the final match. And that seemed to be, like, the most important match of the night. Whereas, now at WrestleMania, when you really think about it, we're going to get, especially for this year, you're going to get the main event title match. You're going to get Wyatt versus Undertaker. which, by the way, Maddie, when we get to the half-year review, I'm telling you right now, we're going to be having a debate on there about Paul Heyman versus Bray Wyatt on Best on Mike.
Oof, yeah.
There's going to be some punches thrown. I'm just saying.
Maybe Heyman taught him.
But you know, Bray Wyatt, Undertaker, you have Lesnar versus Reigns, you have Cena versus Rusev, which, goddamn, Cena on this past Monday night, like, where the fuck have you been for the past 3 months, motherfucker? And I'm the C-Nazi saying that, by the way.
You know, it...
Orton versus Rollins.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
you're forgetting one.
The Intercontinental title ladder match?
Oh, wait, you're forgetting one more.
The tag team match?
Oh, yeah, and the Battle Royal, and I can summon the other matchup by two words. Emilio.
Yep.
Yep, Triple H versus Sting. Oh, forgetting one more, hopefully. Miz versus...
Mizdow,
yeah. but I think that's it. Again, that's the times. It's like, we have all these matches that, you know, have this big fight feel to it, that feel like they're big pay-per-view main events, which is what WrestleMania should feel like. WrestleMania should be a pay-per-view that is filled with pay-per-view main events. Mm-hmm. Like, where almost every match on the card could be a main event pay-per-view.
Yep.
And, it was different.
My only worry about this one is I'm kind of having a 28 vibe to it, and they have to be careful with how they position the matches.
Yeah.
Because 28, honest to God, Cena-Rock was a good match, but it had to follow three consecutive epic matches with no cooldown.
You're talking 29 then, because...
No, 28.
No, 29. You had Punk. You had Punk, Taker, Lesnar, yeah. Triple H was a sleeper, by the way.
Yeah.
Sleeper hit.
I mean, for me, 28, because I had Taker, Triple H, that epic Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
And then Punk versus Jericho, which that one was really good too.
Yeah.
And then by the time that Cena and Rock went on this, it was like not taking anything away from those two, but it just, I was drained.
It's a little dead.
I was drained because there was like no cooldown.
As opposed to 29, though, where, yeah, they were a little dead at 29, but they got back up towards the end of that match, if you actually listen to it.
And that crowd was fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah. And they cheered for Cena at the end of that match, too.
And
barely, but yeah.
And there was that, if I remember, 29 was known for that, something happened. I guess some guy was cheating on his wife and had the mistress there with him, and she made a sign pointing it out or something.
Oh, yeah.
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 But, you know, again, and I bring all that up to, you know, point the differences between then. Between here, between the now and then.
No.
Because during WrestleMania 15, like I said, it was all about that main event. It's all about that event. About that event. No trouble. It's all about that. I need to be locked in a cage and have the key thrown away.
Yes, please.
I'm too silly tonight. God, I need to get those. So, Maddie, you want to tell people where they can find you so I can, like, knock myself the fuck out?
Yes, you do that.
We need to call Butterbean.
Yeah, call. Where is he at? Where is it? We're not on RVT. RVTEntertainment.com is down. We're the old site. We can't recover it, so it's being constructed. We're rebuilding it, making it stronger, better.
You have the technology.
We have the person with the technology. But right now, currently, the WrestleCast and RVT's Ranger Recap are on Podomatic.com. All you gotta do is tell you that it's on, you can search there and it's up there, no problem. But you get that. I do live streams every Wednesday on my own personal channel. You can follow me on Twitter at MattyJ316 for information on all that. And that's pretty much it.
Hairball.
Well, I got this little fundraiser gig going on for the hospital that treated my daughter. And damn it, Bobbert, are you trying to break me, dude? Because I checked it after I got home from work the other day, and he kicked in another 30. And he even posted about it on his Facebook, and, saying, hey, look, we're only $50 away from the double goal, so, do it, Tuesday, I'm doing another Cards Against Humanity stream.
Which I'm going to have to miss, unfortunately, because of prior engagements there. But
But I will be there.
Yep. And, one more week, and then a couple of days later, I will be going to Tampa for the whole, presentation spiel. And, this turned out a whole hell of a lot better than I thought it would. And, I couldn't have done it without you guys.
Don't need to thank us. I can speak for probably a lot of people that we're very happy to do it.
There's that.
Well, I thank you guys for coming on. I really do appreciate it. Folks, we kind of threw this thing together last minute, if you couldn't tell. Like, literally last night, I was like, hey, would you guys like to help review it with me? And I'm, thinking, it would be, they'd say, I'm free at this point this next week. And it's like, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'm like, okay. So a lot of this stuff has been thrown together last minute.
Yep.
So if we sound very unprofessional tonight, that's why. And so I do kind of apologize at the same time I don't, because that's what makes this stuff fun.
Professionalism, what's that?
Professional podcasting, it's awesome. So if you have any emails or comments, remember there are several ways you can contact the show. One, you can email us at AppSolutionNetwork132@gmail.com. You can contact us on Stitcher and on Facebook by searching for the AppSolution Network. And you can always post on the site at www.an.132productions.com. Make sure you check out all the other 132 Productions content. That, of course, includes my podcasts like Tom's Prerogative, Tom's Top 10, and the Intergalactic Graphic Review, John Rumsfeld's Toku, and voice acting and anime videos. And, of course, the legendary Shin Tiger Curl, our good friend, who's constantly putting, wrestling editorials and stuff up on the site.
Choking D-cell batteries around.
Yeah. Oh, he's been throwing D-cell batteries around. He's got, one of those... the shirt guns?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's been firing out to her, here's a D-cell battery for you. And for you. And, I want to call him Oprah all of a sudden.
Here's a D-cell battery. You get a D-cell. You get a D-cell. Everybody gets a D-cell.
And, of course, there's also the other podcasting sites which feature other podcasts from myself. That, of course, includes the Comic Book Crazy site with Comic Book Crazy Hexcast and Spectacular Webs, which you can find at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And, of course, my Tokyo SOS, which is seen on its Facebook page, a surge of likes, which I'm very thankful to anybody who might be listening to this who recently liked the Tokyo SOS Facebook page. You can find that at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. That's my Godzilla podcast, for those who don't know.
Jeez, I wonder how I knew that.
Yeah, just, well, is either going to be Godzilla or is it going to be Toku? And, of course, make sure you check out all our friends. That, of course, includes going to Potomac now to check out the WrestleCast. And hopefully, and, of course, RVT when they finally get it back up. All our friends, though, that you can find in the sidebar of the site, check them out. So that is it for this episode of CM Jews Wrestling Reviews. Next episode, we continue our look at the anniversaries. And we look at the night where Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit ended the night hugging. And it's too bad that we can't celebrate that moment more because of what would happen later. But anyways, next week, we go back to Madison Square Garden to review WrestleMania 20. So, gentlemen, if you'd like to cover your ears for a moment.
Sure.
Yep. So, until next time, I want you to remember one goddamn thing about me. CM Jew. I'm the best Jew in the world!
Every day I pray to get to know ya. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around all around, I believe it. I'm too negative, I but I believe. Yes, I believe. I said I believe. I stand among two feet, one be brought down on one knee. I fight with all of my might to get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Out of darkness comes light, twilight unto the heights. Crown lights burning up, out of the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. Stealing my love will be for holiness healing. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God, songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Time it's out for feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be holy in a ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Stripping away the legs and reveal your soul. You gotta give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Them wanna live that fast life.